You're listening to All Things Azeroth for Friday, August 24th, 2007. Welcome back to the show. I do apologize. I know that a few people on my home realm of Virgin Dawn had messaged me and asked when I was planning to put out the next episode of the podcast, and I was planning to record one this past weekend. However, things didn't quite work out, and I had to postpone it. And now I'm sitting here early on a Wednesday morning, and I'm recording the 7th episode of All Things Azeroth. So I guess that shows a little bit of dedication for you. You're welcome. I want to thank everybody who gave me some really awesome feedback on the last episode. It was great to hear that there's actually people who are wanting to hear this stuff. The first 5 shows that I put out got almost no reaction, so it was kind of nice to actually hear from people who are actually listening and actually were looking forward to the next episode. So, hello to all of you. I won't name you all by name because I don't remember all of your in-game screen names, but thank you everybody who's given reactions and opinions and so on and so forth. As I mentioned before on the show, this show originally started out as Midweek Review. It was my WoW radio show that started about 2 or 3 months before the game started and went on till, I think, just after BlizzCon 2005. Shortly before my departure from WoW radio, I had an episode that I did a bit of ranting. I was more than a little pissed off. I had money in my PayPal account. Did not have any cash on hand, and was out of game because I couldn't get a game card. I couldn't find anywhere that took PayPal, and I couldn't get the money out for several days out of my PayPal account. I ranted for a good 10 to 15 minutes before I brought my co-hosts at the time, Vexa and Laurington, on, both of who play on Argent Dawn. And I did so because I didn't want them to be tarnished with my opinions and be forced to agree or disagree with them. I was upset. Blizzard had promised that PayPal would be an option at the launch of the game. I got feedback on the rant from somebody who works for the European side of Blizzard, who told me that they would get PayPal working eventually, and it would be nothing but a pain in the ass for players and Blizzard alike. So you'll understand, I hope, why the fact that Blizzard announced this week that, effective immediately, PayPal will become an option for paying for your World of Warcraft subscription. You'll understand why that is a little more personal to me than most would expect. I don't think that it should have taken almost 3 years to complete. That feature is not something that is overly cumbersome. Many sites have it. Many games have the option to pay via a multitude of payment options. Dark Ages of Camelot, if I recall, had several payment options all through various payment services, though I don't recall if PayPal was actually one of them or not. At that time, and to this day, I still don't feel that it was an overly cumbersome thing to do. I don't comprehend why it took so long, and if TL or any of the Blizzard employees who might have been part of that or who have opinions on the matter are listening to this podcast, though I don't know why you would, honestly, since you know more about the game than I do. But if you're listening to this podcast and you have an opinion or you have something to say about the topic, I look forward to hearing from you. That said, I congratulate Blizzard for finally getting PayPal as a payment option. A little late, but as the saying goes, better late than never. I do hope that it is far less troublesome than TL told me back in 2006 or so, and hopefully it'll be a little bit better and make a little more sense as time has gone on since then. Since my last episode, my guildmaster, the Shadowwalkers, Vandraga, has given me a great opportunity, and I want to take a moment to thank him for it. I've been given the opportunity to write opinion pieces, editorials if you would like, about World of Warcraft and my opinions about those who play it and how it's designed and all that other stuff, and those are posted automatically to the front page of the Shadowwalkers Guild website. If you want my opinions on what is being said about World of Warcraft, what is going on with World of Warcraft, and long-running debates about World of Warcraft, that's where you want to go for my opinions. This podcast is weekly, maybe more than a weekly, maybe less than a weekly, maybe it'll degrade to a monthly at some point, I don't know. This is basically whenever I have time to record and have something to say. Right now I have 4 articles already pre-written that have not been posted, and I've already in the span of a week and a half posted about 8 articles, and I think many of them have very good points. Some of them are guesses, some of them are requests, some of them are just viewpoints. I wrote up a review of the first day of BlizzCon, the news that we had about the new expansion, changes to the classes, and so on. I also had what was a general press release, and basically a summary of the, as they call it, salient facts of the expansion, and what we could expect to be coming out in the next little while. I've talked about that here, so that's not overly surprising to anyone who's actually listened to this podcast before. But if you're new, welcome, enjoy the show. I did want to take some time in this episode of All Things Azeroth to go a little bit more into my opinions on a few of the topics and a few of the postings that I've made in the op-ed section of the Shadowwalkers Guild website. One is actually something that came up again today, as a friend of mine's guild lost another person to easy loot and laziness. The editorial is titled Loyalty, Loot, and Laziness. It basically goes over how disloyal some people can be to those guilds, those players, and those friends, or alleged friends, who got them from 1 to 70, and as soon as they have an opportunity to go to another guild who has the loot they want on farm status, many of them just disappear, not giving a damn what the guild goes through, the troubles that the guild might face now that they don't have that class that they need for their Kara run or their Gruul run or McTheridan or whatever their run is. I don't see that happening so much in some of the guilds that I belong to, but I know a lot of people who have really, really strong frustrations with this. And while I'm not sure that I see the logic behind it, I'm sure that the lure of easy loot, of being the only person in the entire run who actually needs that item, not having to roll against people who, like you, are under-geared, I'm sure that's a really strong pull. I'm sure that there's a lot of desires for that. But there's going to become a point when that guild of yours is going to be doing Zul'aman, and you're going to be relegated to Team 2 or Team 3 or Team 4 because you're not good enough. You are one of the hangers-on, one of the people they brought in so they would always make sure they had a 25-man. You're the person, and the guild you're joining knows it. They know you're a leech. You're leeching on and sucking the blood, sucking the loot out of their runs. They know it. If they don't know it, it's their own damn faults. If you don't have the loyalty to the guild that brought you up, why would your friends, why would your new guild even trust you? Any guild that would be worth joining wouldn't. So if you want to leave a guild you're in to go join some raiding guild that has the loot you want on farm status just to get easy loot, go ahead. But I encourage players and guilds who go through this kind of stuff to create disloyalty lists. Lists of all of those players who didn't give a damn what the guild was going through or the trouble they would cause, only cared about their loot, only cared about making their characters look the best they could for the least amount of work. That's what I recommend. Make a list of players who have left your guild because they didn't like that it actually took work. That's what I recommend. If you decide to do that for your guild or for your server, let me know what you do. Let me know what realm you're on. Let me know if any guilds join you. Let me know what the reaction in your guild and on your realm is like. I want to know. I want to see if I'm the only person out there who thinks that players who are disloyal to the guilds who helped them get all the way up to 70, running those Uldemon instances, Deadmine, Scarlet Monastery, Muradon, whatever. I want to know if they're as disloyal as it looks like. Because from where I'm sitting, that's pretty damn disloyal to me. Another op-ed that I want to talk about that I wrote is a topic that has long been dear to my heart. I am not a Care Bear. a Care Bear does not go out and take on mana wraiths and blood elves and demons, covering himself in blood just to get a few things. That's not a Care Bear. But yet, people on PvP servers call me a Care Bear, because I play on a PvE roleplay server. Hell, to some people, I'm doubly a Care Bear, because I'm on a PvE server and an RP server. I don't even have the guts to sit there and be on a RP PvP server, which, I might point out, didn't exist when I created my character on Argent Dawn. These players use the excuse of, this is Warcraft, not Peacecraft. And I will agree. I am at war with demons, I am at war with evil, I am at war with a lot of things. I just don't feel the need, necessarily, to be at war with the Horde. I will join Battlegrounds on occasion, and when I have time. If I have the desire to go in and mindlessly kill Horde, great. I don't do so great at it myself, personally at least in my opinion, but it's interesting at the very least. The article that I posted was, More War in Warcraft. This week was the 65th anniversary of the landing at Dieppe in France, one of the bloodiest battles in Canadian history. And the coverage of that and the story of how that battle went made me think that, okay, PvP players want more war in their Warcraft. They want more death and more destruction and less control and less civilization. They want war. And I say, let's give them war. Let's give them instant kill. One-shots from players and mobs alike. If a player can shoot you in the head, you're dead. You have a 1 in 100 or 1 in a million chance that you'll actually survive the shot. And here's the thing. When you die, there's no reses. There's no spirit healer. There's no running back to your body. You're dead, you're dead. Level 70 comes into your level 5 starting zone and kills everyone. Oh well, go roll another one. That's right. If you want more war in your Warcraft, fine. We'll give you real war. We'll give you the realities of war. And then we'll see how Care Bear you can be. You think I'm a Care Bear? Try losing your level 70 because you couldn't get that heal off in time. Bye. It's gone. No more character. Then we'll see how you like your Warcraft. Another topic that I wanted to talk about was that there are those in the gaming industry that predict that people don't need to program to combat World of Warcraft, because within 2 to 4 years, World of Warcraft will be a non-entity in the gaming industry. Now, the first thing I'd like to point out is these are competitors to World of Warcraft. They are competitors of Blizzard, and of course they're going to sit there and say that they aren't worried about World of Warcraft because it's not that big a deal, and they forget that they all have to compete with World of Warcraft. How can you not compete with somebody who has 9 million gamers worldwide playing one single game among active accounts? Not all accounts ever created. Active accounts. I was reading a blog article the other day comparing World of Warcraft's progression in the nearly 3 years it has been out as compared to the progression of EverQuest 2, which was released about the same time as World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft has released one expansion and has announced another. EverQuest 2, as far as I understand, has 4 or 5 expansions and announced another. I don't know what level of content you get in a EverQuest expansion. I've never played the game, never played the original either. But even the original EverQuest, if we're looking at groundbreakers, games that revolutionized the industry, EverQuest would be the first one, the one that sort of started the MMO market. And it lasted for, 7, 8 years? At its peak, I believe it didn't even have 1 million players. I know that it did not have anywhere near what World of Warcraft has right now. No other game has ever done that. I'd venture to say that if you added up most of the bigger names in the market, you probably wouldn't get to 9 million players. A lot of Warcraft players are new with Warcraft. Warhammer Online is the newest big WoW killer. We'll see if they get there. We'll see if they have what people want. Lord of the Rings said it was going to be the WoW killer. Pirates of the Burning Sea has said it's going to be the WoW killer. You can't ignore the 800-pound gorilla that's in the room. You just can't do it. And to say that World of Warcraft will be a non-entity, well, pipe dreams is the best way I can put it. I think whoever would actually think that World of Warcraft won't be around in 2 to 4 years is insane. They have a 10-year timeline. They are currently slowing down, it looks like, in the number of subscriptions they are increasing by, but they are still increasing. They are not stopping. That's not reversing. They are increasing subscriber base. I would venture to say that the day that World of Warcraft Wrath of the Lich King is released, we will likely see 10 million players worldwide playing World of Warcraft. That's a big number. That is a big number for one single game. one game that the majority of the world has to pay monthly for. Think about that before you sit there and tell me that in 2 years or 4 years or even 5 years, World of Warcraft will be a non-entity. All due respect, but as Linda Mallory once said, I got there first. WoW got there before any other game. You think EverQuest got the formula right? No. They did not have any formula near what World of Warcraft had. I'm now reading the Warcraft Archive. It's interesting because it's all books and stories that I've already read. I've just never read them all in one. It's got Day of the Dragon. It's got Lord of the Clans, The Last Guardian, and it also has Of Blood and Honor, which has never been printed in paper before, unless you printed it on your paper after you bought the ebook. Those are the first four stories in the World of Warcraft universe. We have another five out, plus the three manga. Another two to three on the way, plus another manga series coming up. It's not going anywhere. World of Warcraft mania has only begun. And its rise, its status in the world, is not going to diminish. It's not going to fade away like people want it to. It will be here for a very long time. So the best thing that I can advise for Mythic co-founder Matt Fearer, Mr. Fearer, I wouldn't really advise not designing for World of Warcraft, because if you decide to ignore World of Warcraft, you're going to be squished like a little bug. Thanks anyway. When I played on Manoroth, which is the first server that I joined when I bought World of Warcraft back in 2004, people used the excuse of, it was done to me, so I'll do it to you, as to why they would gank me and anybody else they saw who was killable by them. I would go questing in Stranglethorn or Desolus. I would wave and bow and greet opposing players, only to turn my back and have their hammer or axe or spell land right in the middle of it. That's why I play on Argent Dawn now. I got tired of being stabbed in the back. I got tired of putting up with the annoyances and the frustrations and the whole complete and utter level of crap that you have to go through to play on a PvP realm. Why is being nice in game such a bad thing? Do you really need to kill everything you find? Do you really need to travel the world until you're so covered in blood and guts and whatever comes out of the last things you killed that you can barely walk? In reality, if you were really your character and the blood didn't just evaporate when you killed a character or a mob or a player, how covered in blood would a PvP realm have to be? If even one drop of blood for every death on a PvP realm, you could probably paint the Veiled Sea and the Maelstrom and all of the oceans of Azeroth in blood red on any PvP realm. Okay, I'm done on that subject. I'm pretty sure that I have said all I can say without getting ranty, and I don't want to get ranty. I want you guys to enjoy your show. I know a lot of you probably play on PvE realms. Probably some of you play on PvP realms, though, and I don't want you to think badly of me or think that I'm trying to insult your realms. I just want you to think that not everyone has to play on your realms. Some people do want to choose their own playstyle. Some people want to choose their battles. That's all I'm asking to think about. I realized something this week when I was trying to write articles for ShadowWalkersGuild.com. It's very hard to try and discern facts from rumor and speculation and whispered things in the corners of BlizzCon when you're trying to talk about something that can change so drastically. I'm interested to look back at some of the stuff that I've written in the last week or two about what's coming in the expansion when the expansion hits, just to see what was wrong, what was different, what I was totally wrong about, what they changed, what turned out not even to be in the game. That'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see where Blizzard takes the game, where they shuffle it, or where they move it from here. Two or three more things that I want to talk about before I end this show. The first is itemization for hybrids, and I was planning this to be the primary topic of the day, but I had a longer list than I expected to for the show, and I do want to close it off before it gets too long. I was reading an article over on WoW Insider, and they were talking about why paladins and the paladin class is so plagued with infighting. You don't see the druids arguing like this. You don't see balanced druids and bear druids going at it, calling the other side noobs or retards, idiots, or making fun of them or calling them names. You don't see that. You don't see the different shaman specs tearing each other apart. But yet, you'll see a holy paladin tearing apart the retribution spec. You'll see a prot who will tear down both the Holy and the Retribution. You'll see Retribution who will sit there and say that there's no room for a paladin tank. Why? One of the things that WoW Insider suggests is that it's itemization. What's the right itemization for a Retribution paladin? I haven't figured it out. I know my survivability is much lower than it used to be. I know that my DPS is higher than it used to be, but it could use some work, both of them. I'd like to be able to heal half my health with one of my Holy Light spells. I would like to be able to do some noticeable damage with my Crusader Strike. Will I ever be able to? We'll see. I don't know. Itemization for hybrids has always been a very difficult thing. A lot of the paladin gear is holy spec. And as much as I hate to say it, it really feels like Blizzard is going for holy being the primary paladin tree. I know prop paladins who weep at that fact. And it's a fact. Because they see these groups, mine own included, who are begging for tanks. Healers, dime a dozen. Priests, resto druids, healing shamans, holy paladins, tons. Bear tanks, nerfed. Prot paladins, nerfed. Blizzard tried to buff those two, the bear tanks and the prot paladins, and warriors whined, and warriors complained, and they stomped, and they roared, and they made a loud noise, and Blizzard gave them back their glory. They gave the warriors back their ability to be the best tanks, and now there are very few other tanks besides that. Yeah, sure, in the expansion we'll get Death Knights who will be able to tank, but that's a lot of time probably between now and then. Blizzard wants to give our beloved warriors some love. But the problem is, Blizz, there's not that many warriors to give the love to. I sit and I beg and I plead in slash 2 in Shattrath and slash 1 in various zones, begging for tanks, for groups. And what do I get? Silence. They're all in Steam Vaults, or they're all in Gruul's Lair, or Karazhan. We need the ability to have more tanks. I haven't heard of a single realm that has more tanks than they know what to do with. So, I understand, Blizzard, that you didn't want warriors to feel like they didn't have a place anymore. And, hey, I feel for you. You have a significant player base saying you're screwing us over, and you felt like you had to do something. I feel for you, but you saved the warriors and sacrificed paladins and druids and a lot of groups, because I don't want to have to look for 4 hours just to find a tank that isn't dead tired because he's been in 5 or 6 or 7 raids that night, or just doesn't feel like tanking. Maybe he's out PvPing, maybe he's out questing, maybe he's out farming mats for his next runs. Either way, they gotta do something about that. They need to give talent-specific gear to paladins. How many healers wear leather? How many DPS wear plate? I don't see it's very hard to do it, but for some reason Blizzard is focusing their gear on specific stats, and it baffles me beyond belief as to why they're doing that. Do we really need 10 more plate sets that are made for tanks? Do you really think that's going to cause more paladins to go prot? No. Giving them decent talents and decent spec would be good. That'd probably be a decent start, but in the end, Blizzard knows what they need to do. They know what will solve the problems that they face. It's convincing them to do it, so we'll see what they do. Wanted to make a quick mention of this. The World of Warcraft trading card game, the new expansion, Fires of Outlands, it's coming out soon, and it'll have 3 new loot cards. Of course, every new expansion they do has new loot cards. These ones will have some interesting things, though. The first one will be Goblin Gumbo, which has interesting effects on those who eat the food that it produces. The second is a fishing chair, which can be used while you're doing your fishing, and it actually looks like you're sitting down instead of standing up, looking like an idiot with a fishing pole in your hands, not getting tired of standing in the same place. And last, and I'm sure most people will say that it's definitely not the least, is the Spectral Tiger. One of these cards from the pre-release events sold for over $2,000 on eBay the other day. $2,000 for a mount. What you do is you turn the card in to the person that sits in Booty Bay, and it opens a vendor type window where you can purchase either the level 40 mount, normal speed land mount, or the level 60 epic land mount. If you buy the level 41, you can go back later and purchase the level 61. It is, of course, only usable on one character, not all of your characters, so you'd have to choose very wisely to make sure you only chose the right one. If I had this card, and if anybody out there is willing to send it to me, I'd very much appreciate it. I will not pay $2,000 for it, though, so don't send it COD. I know which character I would use it on if I had it, and that would be Medros, because he is the one character who does not have a cat, and I do not feel like buying all of the rune cloth on the Argent Dawn realm just to go out and get a bloody mount. And the last thing that I want to mention quickly before I wrap up this show is actually a mod that I found via WoW Insider. It's a mod called Lightheaded. And there's another one they mentioned, I believe it's called Double Wide. And basically what the two mods together do is give you a quest log that is three windows across. The first window is the normal listing of what quests you have. The second one, much like an advanced trade skill window does, is it splits off the second portion of that window, which is what the quest text would show. The third section is what Lightheaded does, and that is it shows you the text of the comments that you find on WoWhead in the actual window. So I believe it actually has to search those beforehand, but it does show you those comments so that it'll give you coordinates, explanations of what you have to do, without having an alt tab out to WoWhead, of course. So that again is Lightheaded and Double Wide, and those are your mods of the week. For those who got here through the Elf and Dwarf, I hope to see my good friends Rorlins and Adeldia back up and running on their podcast soon. And of course, I will be recording shortly the first return segment of the Azerothian add-on segment for the Elf and Dwarf. So thanks again for tuning in. If you have any comments or complaints or questions about the show or stuff you would like me to get on the show, email me medros@allthingsazeroth.com or find me on the Argent Dawn realm. I'm on the Alliance side. My character there is, of course, Medros. You can also find me on my druid Arita and my hunter Amelind. Take care, happy hunting, and see you in Outlands. This has been a Dwight Walbridge production, and as such is copyright 2007 by Dwight Walbridge Productions. Please visit us at allthingsazeroth.com.